Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord for us.
When the city of Gotham is in distress, they put out the bat signal. This is to alert Batman that they need help. It's a call for rescue. Whatever predicament, whatever distress they find themselves in, calling on him to help. It's also, I imagine, a symbol of comfort, as in, don't worry, don't fear. Help is on the way. Batman is coming. So I want to suggest to us today that it's time for us to put out the call for help. It's time for us to put out an SOS ourselves. No, we're not summoning Batman. Or any other superhero, for that matter. We do so through prayer. We call on the Lord. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 121, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come?" From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, my friends. That's just what we're going to talk about today. So my name is John. I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. Well, I'm so glad that you've joined us today because we're starting a brand new sermon series, and it's called As It Is in Heaven. We are going to be studying for the next several weeks the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. In fact, if you have your Bible with you, you're welcome to turn there. We're really just going to be in one verse today in verse 9, but you're welcome to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look today at the beginning of this prayer from chapter 6 in the Gospel of Matthew, verse 9, where Jesus prays, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And what we're going to see is that Jesus, in this verse, in this opening to the prayer, teaches us to pray with adoration, praising God for who he is. So let me begin by saying we need to pray. We need God's help. We need a move of God. We need heaven to come to earth. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray with adoration for who God is. And in fact, let me do this. Let's zoom out, and I'll show you what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks in this sermon series. So what I'd like to do is give just a quick overview of five prayer principles that we're going to cover together. Today, we'll just do one. But the first prayer principle that we see in the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6 is praise. That is, Jesus teaches us to pray with adoration. Verse 9, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. The second is petition. Jesus teaches us to pray with submission. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Next is provision. Jesus teaches us to pray with gratitude for all God provides. Verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." Next is pardon. Jesus teaches us to pray with confession, seeking God's forgiveness. In verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And the final prayer principle, and yes, they did all start with the letter P, praise, petition, provision, pardon. And the final one is protection. Jesus teaches us to pray with faith that God will protect us. Verse 13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." But if you're like me, many times your prayers begin with the petition and the provision. Like I ask God for things. Here's what I want, Lord. Prayer is submitting to the Lord my wish list. Like, I want you to help me. I want you to provide for me. These are the things I want. What I do is I gloss over the whole hallowed be your name thing. And so you might also be wondering, well, okay, so Jesus teaches us to pray. Why is it that he's teaching us to pray with adoration? Why would praise, if we consider five prayer principles from the Lord's Prayer, why would praise be the first? Well, let's talk about that. Praise or adoration happens when we rightly recognize who God is. So this is a theology of worship. This is why the Christian church has been singing songs and reciting verses for thousands of years. And by the way, whether it's a hymn or like a classic praise chorus or a modern worship song, like many of them have good, strong, sound biblical theology. Some of them do not. It doesn't matter what the type of song is. It doesn't matter what type of music it is. What matters is the content. So worshiping God, praising God, adoring God, what it does is it reminds us of who God is. It shapes our thinking. It shapes our theology. This is why it is so important that the songs we sing, the poems we recite, the ideas we think about are biblical. Because we need to rightly understand who God is. It's been said that's the most important thought that you will ever think, is your thoughts on who God is. So we need to be reminded of who God is, also of what God has done. So another thing that praise does is it helps us to proclaim who God is. Like Luke chapter 19, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on the donkey, and people are singing and they're praising, and the Pharisees think that they're doing it just a little too loudly. Like they're getting a little too worked up, and Jesus is like, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. See, we praise him through the good and through the bad. We praise him in the valley and on the mountaintop. Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. In fact, in ancient Israel, when the army went into battle, who went first? Does anybody know? It was the worship team. How would you like that, Bailey? Like, we're going to war. You got your bass guitar. You go first. The worship team led the army of Israel into battle. They went into battle singing songs, playing music, adoring and praising God for who he is. And they would sing about victories past. They reminded themselves of what the Lord had done. They proclaimed for everyone to hear, yes, including their enemies, that the Lord is mighty. Psalm 24. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. You see, we are misguided if we think that prayer is somehow going to prepare us for a coming battle. No, 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 no. Prayer is the battle. Oswald Chambers says it this way. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. So when we praise God, when we adore God, we are dwelling on who he is. We are meditating on who he is. We're reminding ourselves of who he is. And I cannot think of a more appropriate time for us to be reminded of who God is. And so in the Lord's Prayer that we'll spend time together in the next several weeks, Jesus begins, verse 9, with adoration for who God is. By the way, we call the Lord's Prayer the Lord's Prayer because Jesus is our Lord, and this was his prayer. It's the prayer of Jesus. It's the prayer of our Lord. That's why we call it the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus actually, and I would encourage you, take a few minutes today to read the verses in Matthew chapter 6 that come before this. We're not going to do that together, but I would encourage you to do that. Because what happens is Jesus wants to teach his disciples. He wants to teach you and I how to pray. There were religious people, there were Pharisees, and they prayed, but man, it was not like real, genuine, heartfelt, like God-focused prayer. It was actually showy, and it was self-focused. So they were doing prayer, but they were doing it like in ways that were really wrong and messed up, where it was self-centered. And Jesus doesn't want his followers falling into that, and so that's why he teaches them to pray. So let's look together at verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is really look closely and see two reasons that Jesus gives us to adore God. And the first is that God is good. Can I get in all the time? All the time. Right? And we remind ourselves of that. That's part of our sort of evangelical, one of our like traditions or rituals is to do the God is good all the time thing. It's true, and it's biblical, and Jesus begins with it. We pray with adoration because God is good. He is our heavenly Father who cares for us. This imagery that Jesus uses, it helps us because a father's love for his children is strong. The way a father loves his children, this a father's heart to provide for his kids, to preserve, to protect, to see his kids happy and healthy and whole. Like, we will stop at nothing to do that for our children. But have you noticed? So Jesus helps us with this relationship, talking about father and children. But have you noticed sometimes, and this is pointing a finger at myself and others, that when we pray, sometimes it doesn't sound like a conversation between father and child. Like we develop, I guess we could call them prayer tics, where we have phrases that maybe just pop up over and over and over. And maybe that's Father God, and it just appears before and after every portion of a prayer. Or maybe we overuse the word just. Lord, just help us to just learn from you. Just teach us. And just have your way. Like, we develop these sort of prayer tics. And the reason I point that out is because sometimes it sounds strange. Sometimes it sounds like maybe there's not a relationship there between child and father, parent and child. Because this is prayer is a personal conversation, and I want to point that out to us. That when we pray, we come to the Lord as a child comes to their parent, asking and pleading and begging and admiring. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's not as if you need to take a course to learn how to do it.
When it comes time to pray, we've discovered that many Christians panic over the very thought of being called on. We often take drastic measures to ensure we're not the ones being asked to lead in prayer. That's why we've created a 2-disc DVD set, Prayer Master. Now, you can throw your prayer concerns as far away as east from west. With Prayer Master, we cover it all. Is your prayer full of ums?
And,
Prayer Master solution, simply substitute with Father.
Just been beautiful weather, Father. And Father, we lift up these prayer requests to you, Father. We
know that's supplication. Lives, not only will Prayer Master make you sound holier, it'll make you look holier simply by mastering some praying stances. Learn from our black belt in Prayer Master, Master Reverend Thurgood. Once you've mastered the pros and the pose, you'll also learn how to become a better prayer listener. Prayer Master will teach you how to place those affirming grunts at the appropriate times. Mm-hmm. Not since the WWJD bracelet has any product made it so easy to make a holy first impression. With Prayer Master, we'll have you prepared to look good praying in any situation.
In this desolate hour, you know the sorrow that has befallen us. Lord, you giveth and you taketh away. We find solace in knowing that death has already been conquered by our Lord Almighty. Amen and amen.
So what if you weren't born with the spiritual gift of prayer? Now it can be yours for just 3 easy payments of $29.99.
Prayer is simply talking to God as a child talks with a parent. Now, I am blessed to be the dad of 7 amazing kids. And I love to cheer them on. And I love to spend time with them. And I'll be like, come, let me teach you my ways. Like I love my kids. and I care for them, but I realize I am far from perfect. And in fact, just this week, I got angry with my kids. So it was bedtime, and I had put them in bed, and then it was a few minutes later, and they're out of bed, and they're making loud noises, and they're running around, and they're screaming, and then they wake up the baby, and I was tired, and I was grumpy, and I sinned. I was harsh with them. I let my anger control me, and my words, and my actions. Yes, they needed correction. Yes, they needed the loving guidance of their papa. But I failed. Instead of gracefully helping them, teaching them, demonstrating to them God's heart of forgiveness, I scolded them and I shamed them. And what I did was I caused fear in them. And thank the Lord that he doesn't treat us that way. Thank the Lord that he is a perfect and always good. He is perpetually good as a heavenly Father. So here's what the scriptures say in Psalm 145. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he's made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. And you know, maybe you had a dad that was crummy. Maybe he mistreated you and caused you pain. And I'm sorry. I wish that he had humbly served you and repented when he did wrong, encouraged you and lavished love and affection on you. But I want you to hear this today, that there is a heavenly Father who is perfect, who loves you in a way that no earthly father can. This is a God who is truly good. And he wants to spend time with you, and he wants to be in relationship with you, and he takes great delight in you, the scriptures say. This heavenly Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And if you turn to him in faith, he forgives you of all the wrong things you've done. He welcomes you into his forever family. In his goodness, he has made a way for sinful people to be in right relationship with a holy God. And that's the second point that Jesus makes in the Lord's Prayer. See, we talked about God being good. He is our Father in heaven. He also says, hallowed be your name. God is holy. This is, so Jesus prays, hallowed be your name. So we understand this old English word, hallowed. It simply means holy, which means perfect. It means set apart, other, different, complete. And so we pray with adoration for who God is because God is holy. The ancient Israelites didn't even dare to speak the name of God, the divine name of God. So if they're reading scripture, when they come to God's divine name, which is Yahweh, they would substitute it. They would say Adonai, which means Lord or Master. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see over and over and over, he uses this phrase, not the kingdom of God, which was really the words and the phrase that they used, and we see in other gospel accounts, but kingdom of heaven. Because it was almost a euphemism for God. Like, God's name is so sacred and so holy that I'm going to use a substitute word because you know what I mean. It's a you-know-who kind of thing. And the scribes, the ones that actually transpose the Bible, right? They're making copies on scrolls of the ancient scriptures. Every time they get to God's name, they stop. They get up, they leave their workstation, they go and purify themselves, they wash, they come back before writing God's name, each and every time. And if you've read the Bible, you know that God's in there a lot. So this would have been a very tedious practice for them to do. Why would they have done such a thing? Because God's name is holy. One little kid told his parents that he knew God's first name. He goes, yep, it's Howard. And the dad's like, Howard, and that doesn't seem right. The kid's like, it says so in the Bible. Our Father in heaven, Howard be your name. Can't argue with that. God is holy, and God's name is holy. And so what does that mean? It means we give proper honor and respect to the Lord and how we use his name. All right, this is what the Lord says to Moses when he gave the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I tell my kids two situations that you use God's name. One is prayer. You are talking directly to the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Secondly, you are talking about God. You are proclaiming that he is a good, holy, wonderful God. Any other use, and you're using it wrongly. You are using it in vain. Listen, I can't say this more clearly or more plainly. Don't use God's name in vain. Proverbs 18 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. See, the foolish misuse God's name. The righteous run to it because it is a strong tower, and we know in it is safety. So in Isaiah chapter 6, where Christy read for us today, even the angels before the throne of God, they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. And so I want to issue a simple charge to us today. Would we commit to prayer? And would we even consider beginning with adoration and praise and worship? Reflecting on, meditating on, even searching the scriptures to find who is God? Like we talked today just about two things that we see from this simple verse that Jesus says, he's our Father in heaven. He's good. He's a good heavenly Father. And his name is holy. He is a holy God. But there are so many more attributes of God. So we adore God because he's merciful. We adore God because he is just all powerful, because he is sovereign, because he is faithful. And so here's my challenge for us over the next couple of weeks. Would we commit to pray? And part of what that means in a very pragmatic way is schedule it in. Like we're so busy, we have so many things happening. When do you pray? Schedule in time for prayer. Prioritize it. What I want to see happening over these next couple weeks is that we would call one another in our community of faith. And right now we're not gathering together on Sunday mornings. We're doing it online. We would call one another and pray for one another. How about this? Let's flood social media with prayer. What might that do? Let's seek the face of God. You know, if we spent as much time praying as we do grumbling, we would soon have nothing to grumble about. So in this coming week, here's the challenge and the charge. Let's use prayers of adoration and worship and praise. For what? Here's the question. For what do you adore God? Share that with one another. Flood social media with that. You know, Jesus was a person of prayer. He prayed a lot. He had prayer habits. If you look at the Gospels, it's like Jesus prayed often. Jesus prayed in the morning. Jesus prayed in the evening. Sometimes Jesus prayed throughout the night. Jesus prayed at the start of his ministry. Jesus prayed during his ministry. Jesus prayed at the end of his ministry. Jesus prayed from the cross on which he was being crucified. So if Jesus needed to pray, how much more so do we need to pray? In the words of Hebrews 4:16, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. My friends, it is way better than the bat signal because we are calling on the one who is able and the one who can do all things. So may we learn to pray and pray with adoration, proclaiming that God is good. And that God is holy, and may his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray together now. Our good and gracious God, we give thanks to you and we honor you. We confess, Lord, that we like sheep have gone astray. And in your goodness, in your mercy, you have pursued us. And for that, we give you thanks. Lord, in a world that's filled with chaos and confusion and vitriol, right now I pray that you would fix our eyes on you. That you would help us to grow, not in our knowledge of world affairs or public health, but grow in our knowledge of who God is. And so, Lord, would you reveal yourself to us that we might worship you, extol you, praise you, revere you and your holy name today, tomorrow, and into all of eternity. We pray that through this, Lord, the world would see that you are a good God. That they would choose today to worship you and serve you and not wait until the end of time when it's too late. And so, Lord, would you galvanize us and show us the ways that we can share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen.